Let's turn again to John's Gospel, chapter 16. Last week we were thinking about verse 16. The Lord Jesus says to his disciples, "In a little while you will see me no more." He wants them to realize that their remaining time together is going to be very short. Just a few more hours they have with the Lord Jesus, and then he's going to be arrested, and he's going to be put to death. He's going to be buried. 3 days later, he's going to return from the dead, but not to take up the old life again, living side by side with the disciples. That's never going to come again. He's just going to appear mysteriously, a couple of hours in this place, an evening walk in that place. And then 40 days later, he's going to be taken into heaven, and they'll see him no more. In all their lives to come here in this world, they will never again look with their eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. This evening, in that upstairs room in Jerusalem, this really is Jesus' goodbye to the life that he shared with his disciples here on earth. "Just a little while," he says, "and you'll see me no more." But then he adds something else in the second half of verse 16. He says, "And then, after a little while, you will see me." In the Greek, the word for to see in the second half of the verse is different from the word in the first half. And that's quite deliberate. In a little while, he's going to leave them. They're not going to see him anymore with their eyes. But then, a little while later, they are going to see him, but not in the same sense, not in the same way. It's not going to be the same sort of sight. And we asked ourselves last week just what Jesus meant. And when we looked at this verse in the light of the whole passage, we saw that Jesus was talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit to the disciples. On the day of Pentecost, just a little while, just 30 days or so after the Lord Jesus returned to heaven, the Holy Spirit was going to come to the disciples in a new way. He was going to come and live within those men in a new way. And the great work that the Holy Spirit would do for the disciples was this. He was going to remind them of all that the Lord Jesus had said and done. And he was going to help them to understand the Lord Jesus in a way that they had never done before. He was going to show them how glorious and wonderful the Lord Jesus Christ is. Through the Holy Spirit, they were going to see Jesus in a new way. Not now in the sense of physically seeing his face or his form. No, in their hearts, in their minds, the disciples were going to glimpse the glory, the love, the power, the holiness of Jesus as they had never done while he was here on earth with them. They would be moved to trust Jesus and worship the Lord Jesus and adore him in a new and overwhelming way. They were going to see Jesus with the eyes of faith, the eyes of the heart. That's what Jesus means when he says to his disciples, "After a little while you will see me." He's saying to them, the Holy Spirit will come to you. And then you'll see me in a new way. He'll open the eyes of your heart. And you'll understand things about me that you could never understand before. You'll know me far better than you do now. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, and that's what he will do for you. We said last week, didn't we, that there are many folk who would love to know what Jesus looked like physically. They try to visualize his outward physical appearance. And you know, round the walls or round the building of a Roman Catholic church, it's true down at the Sacred Heart property, you'll find statues of the Lord Jesus at different stages in his suffering and death. They're known as the Stations of the Cross. And folk will move round the building from one of these stations to the next. And at each stage, they'll try to visualize the Lord Jesus. They'll try to imagine what he must have looked like when he was dragging his cross through the street, or when he was hanging on the cross. But if you could see Jesus in that way, if you could see his outward form, what good would it actually do to you? Thousands of people did actually see Jesus carrying his cross through the streets. And they did actually see him hanging there on the cross. And it did them no good at all. They still didn't understand him. They still didn't love him or trust him or know him. They may have seen him with their physical eyes, but they'd never really seen Jesus at all. But when the Holy Spirit comes to the individual, comes to you or to me, we do see Jesus. Not that physical outward form, not the face, not the features, but we see who Jesus really is. Our eyes, the eyes of our hearts, are opened to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us can say we have seen Jesus. That's what made us into Christians. That's why we are Christians this morning, because we came to a point in our lives where we could say, I've seen Jesus Christ. I've no idea what he looks like physically. I've no idea what his features are like. I've no idea how tall he is, but I've seen Jesus. My eyes have been opened, the eyes of my heart, and I know that Jesus is infinitely wonderful. I know he's more precious than anything this world could possibly offer. I know that his love is worth a thousand universes. I know that Jesus is all that could ever satisfy my soul. I've seen Jesus. I need Jesus. Every Christian has had that experience. If you've not been to that point, you're not a Christian. Whatever you may have known or experienced, if you've never reached the point where you can say, yes, I know Jesus Christ, and I know that he's more wonderful than anything in the world, if you can't say that, then you're not a Christian. A Christian is a person whose eyes have been opened to recognize Jesus for who he is, the Lord, the Saviour, the King, the infinitely beautiful and desirable one, the only one to whom I could ever give all my trust and all my devotion. Every Christian can say, I've seen Jesus. Oh, we don't mean we've had visions, and we don't mean that we've used some technique to visualize him. We don't mean that we've stared at some artist's picture of the Lord Jesus until we feel we've got to know him. It's not that at all. I've got no impression at all of Jesus' outward appearance. I've got no idea of his features or his height or the length of his hair or anything else. But I can say I've seen him. And that wasn't only at the beginning of our Christian lives. If we are real Christians, we can say that that has been our experience throughout our Christian lives. We can say that there have been times when the Holy Spirit has touched our minds and our hearts afresh, and we've understood the truth about the Lord Jesus in a way that we'd never done before, in a fresh way, in that we've seen dimensions we've not seen before. We've become aware again of who he is and what he's done. And we've realized again what a wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. And seeing him in that way has changed us. That's been the great thing that has changed us over the years. A Christian can look back and say, well, I have changed as the years have gone by. A Christian can look back and say, hey, I've changed in my personality. I've changed in my outlook. I've changed in my habits. I trust I'm a more godly man now than I was 5 years ago. But the thing that has changed us has been this ever new experience of seeing Jesus Christ. It's as we've looked at him, it's as we've understood more and more about him that we have been changed from glory to glory. It's the great life-changing, heart-changing experience, the experience of seeing Jesus Christ. Sometimes your eyes are opened in a moment to some aspect of the person and work of the Lord Jesus. And it is so sudden, and it's so dramatic, it's overwhelming. You're just reading a passage, and maybe it's a very familiar passage about the Lord Jesus. And suddenly the truth of that passage, what it says about the Lord Jesus, hits you, and it's overwhelming in its impact. Perhaps you've been struggling so much in your Christian life, and you've been so conscious of your own weakness and sin, and you've been frightened, even if you've never put it into words, somewhere deep down inside you're fearful that the Lord Jesus is going to reject you and turn you away because you know that you're such a pathetic Christian. And then in your own quiet time, you've been reading the Word of God. You're cast down. You're not expecting any special blessing because you know you don't deserve it. And maybe you come to such words as these: he will not break a bruised reed. He will not snuff out a smoking wick. And those words, you already know them, but they hit you like a thunderbolt. And you find that there are tears running down your cheeks, and they're tears of joy, because you know those words are true. You know that your Jesus never crushes the weak. He never breaks the struggling. You know that he never sneers at feeble, struggling Christians. And you know that the weaker and the more struggling you are, the more certain it is that he'll take pity on you, because that's the sort of Saviour he is. He's not going to snuff out your flickering, dying, spiritual life. He's going to fan it into a flame. You know it! Because that verse has spoken so powerfully to your heart. Well, you see what's happened. The Holy Spirit has taken up a verse of Scripture. And in a moment, the Holy Spirit has given you a glimpse of the compassion and tenderness of Jesus. And in that moment, you can say, I've seen Jesus. I've seen him in a new way. Never before had I really understood how compassionate and tender he is. But now I've become aware of what he's like in a way that was never true before. And it's been in a moment. And that moment stays with you for the rest of your life. You never forget what you saw of Jesus in that moment. It put a permanent stamp upon you from that moment. The fact that you glimpsed the all-compassion, the tenderness of the beloved Son of God. But it's not always like that, is it? Yes, there may be those great moments in the Christian life when we see Jesus. But equally, it may be true that our eyes are open very gradually to see the Lord Jesus. Sometimes I hear a Christian man or woman saying, well, over these past months, what's been coming home to me is the fact that the Lord Jesus really is a man, a true man, that he really does understand us. That he really has been through all the things that we go through. And I say, well, was there a particular moment when you realised that? And they say, well, no. I mean, I've always known it in my head, ever since I became a Christian. But it's just that over these past months, that truth has become more and more real to me, more and more precious to me. It seems as if there's been one thing after another reinforcing that truth in my mind. And so I've realized more and more that Jesus really was tempted. And he really was lonely. And that he had and has real human feelings. That he's really one of us. It may be that over those months the Holy Spirit has used many sermons and many quiet times and many hymns and many painful experiences to open up that truth to that Christian. Not just one great moment, not just a huge explosive discovery, but over those months the dawning of a new awareness of the Lord Jesus. The important thing is that at the end of that of those months, that Christian can say, I've seen Jesus. I've seen Jesus in a new way. And that Christian isn't saying, I've got a clearer impression of Jesus' outward appearance. He's not saying, I've had a vision of Jesus' face. But he is saying, I know Jesus. I know him better than I ever did. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. Constantly to be opening our spiritual eyes to see Jesus. So one Christian will look back and say, I've become aware of the power of the Lord Jesus in a way I never was. And another Christian will say, I've been realizing what a wonderful thing it is that Jesus is going to come again to judge the world. And I've begun to long for his returning. And another Christian will say, I've been realizing the infinite value of the death of the Lord Jesus, that his blood really does cleanse from all sin. And surely every Christian will say, I've been seeing more and more of the love of the Lord Jesus. Whatever other truths the Holy Spirit teaches us about the Lord Jesus, he's always teaching us that truth. He's always opening our eyes to see the Lord Jesus as the Lord of love, who has loved us from eternity and will love us forever. All through our Christian lives, we are to be seeing Jesus more and more clearly. That's the great work for which the Holy Spirit has come to us. And it's the very heart of living as a Christian. Everything else in the Christian life flows from this. You'll only have the desire to put away sin when you see the holiness of Jesus and his hatred of sin. You'll only find strength to put away your sins when you see the power of the Lord Jesus, the victory he's won, his ability to defeat sin in the human heart. You will only find courage to do the work that you ought to do for him as you see his love towards you. That's what gives you the motivation to serve him. An ever-growing understanding of Jesus. A constantly deepening experience of Jesus himself. It's the mainspring of the whole Christian life. It's not just one element in the Christian life. It's not that, well, I must battle against sin, and I must get involved in evangelism, and I must pray for the lost. Oh, and I must seek to see Jesus. It's not like that. The whole of the Christian life is summed up in the sentence, I want to see Jesus. And everything else flows from that. It's because we're seeing Jesus. It's because the Holy Spirit is enabling us to see the beauty and the glory and the power and the wisdom of Jesus that we're able to defeat sin. And we're able to serve faithfully. And we're moved to pray for the lost. It's seeing Jesus that drives us forward in every aspect of the Christian life. We can use other language, of course, to speak of the same thing. Within John's Gospel, sometimes we read of eating Jesus. That's an even more graphic metaphor, isn't it? That we actually feed on him, we devour him, we take him into our system. We can simply talk about trusting Jesus, seeing more and more of his trustworthiness in every dimension, and casting ourselves upon him. When Paul says, "For me to live is Christ," this is what he's saying, isn't it? He's saying that he's constantly being moved to see Christ and to adore him and to cling to him and to trust him. And that's his whole life. His whole life now is caught up with this ever-growing understanding and adoration of Jesus Christ. It's only as we see Jesus, it's only as we feed on Jesus Christ, it's only as we trust Jesus Christ that we find strength, or comfort, or courage, or holiness, or wisdom, or godliness. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit to show us Jesus. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to give us these open eyes towards the glory of the Saviour. And this is the great reassurance then that the Lord Jesus gives to his disciples here in verse 16. He says, "In a little while you will see me no more." Yes, he's leaving them. No, they're not going to see him again here in this world. But does that mean that they're going to be cut off from comfort and strength and counsel? Are they going to be left lonely, feeling that Jesus is far away from them and that they can't ever see him again? No, says Jesus, you will be seeing me. Every day of your Christian lives you'll be seeing me, because the Holy Spirit will be opening your eyes to see me every day. I promise that the Holy Spirit will lead you to me. And so we have to claim that promise, don't we? Every time you open your Bible, you can take up that promise. Lord Jesus, you promised that you would send your Holy Spirit. You promised that we would see you. Lord, don't let this quiet hour pass by without giving me a glimpse of yourself through your word. Every time you come to a service like this, you come with that prayer on your lips, don't you? Pleading that promise, stirring up your own hope and expectation. Father, your Son promised that you would send the Holy Spirit to your people. And here we are, your people, gathering now. And he promised that we would see him, that we wouldn't be left without a glimpse of him. Oh, let us see Jesus, Father. Whatever else you do in this meeting, let us see Jesus. The promise is there for us. After that little while, says Jesus, you will see me. Without that, wouldn't the Christian life be a dreary wilderness? If Christian living was simply a matter of plodding on from duty to duty, just reading your Bible because it's a duty, and saying your prayers because it's a duty, and coming to church because it's a duty, and witnessing to others because it's a duty. If that were all the Christian life were, wouldn't it be dreary? There's only one thing that makes the Christian life the glorious and beautiful and infinitely precious thing it is. And that's the fact that we see Jesus. That at those times when we feel we are plodding through the wilderness, the Holy Spirit comes and a word comes to us from the pages of Scripture, and our eyes are opened again to Jesus. that we come worn out and dejected to a meeting like this, and the Holy Spirit comes and we see Jesus. That's what makes the Christian life. That's what the Christian life is. For me to live is Christ, says Paul. Paul says, there would be no life for me. There'd be no life if I weren't seeing Christ, if I weren't encountering him, if I weren't actually having dealings with him. I'd have no life in any real sense. For me to live is Christ, says Paul. You know, sometimes, as all of you had to at one time or another, I've sat through a service in a church where Christ is not known, where the Lord Jesus Christ is not loved, where he's not adored, where he's not preached. And all the man at the front has had to talk about are social concerns, or how to be nice to people, or the duties of religion, or how much money is needed for the organ fund, or even road safety. I've heard sermons on road safety. Well, if that were all we had, if that were Christianity, wouldn't we be the most wretched of human beings? And when I look round the faces of the people in a service like that, I think they are the most wretched of human beings. But Jesus says to us, you'll see me. You'll see me. Doesn't that give a thrill of excitement to us when we set out to a service on a Sunday morning? That Jesus has said, you'll see me there, you know. You'll see me. Doesn't that give a thrill when you open your Bible to read again a familiar passage that Jesus has said, you'll see me, you'll see me? Doesn't that give the whole Christian life a dimension of excitement that the beloved Son of God, adored by angels, the creator of the universe, the one who died at Calvary and rose again on the third day, has promised us, you'll see me. If you look for me, you'll see me. It's our great hope, isn't it? Every Lord's Day morning, every Lord's Day evening, every midweek meeting, every quiet time, every conversation with a Christian friend. I've said before, those are the sort of friends I want. The friends who, when they talk to me, will tell me about Jesus and give me glimpses of him. Friends from whom I come away saying, well, as I talk to that person, he or she made me realize more about Jesus. The sort of friends who pray with me, and when I've heard them praying and meditating before God, they've given me one more insight into the beauty and glory of the Lord Jesus. I couldn't live without that. I couldn't live from day to day just plodding on a religious track. I couldn't live as a minister of the gospel, just doing the work of the pastorate, if there weren't glimpses of Jesus Christ and a growing understanding of Jesus Christ. There's nowhere else where we find comfort. There's nowhere else where we find peace. There's nowhere else where we find meaning at all. Christian life without Christ, meaningless. You can see, can't you, in verse 17 onwards, that the disciples were completely puzzled by Jesus' words here. Really, they didn't understand very much at all of what he'd been saying. And verse 17, some of his disciples said to one another, what does he mean by saying, in a little while you'll see me no more? And then after a little while you will see me. What does he mean when he says, because I'm going to the Father? And they kept asking, what does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he's saying. They're asking one another these questions. But although they're asking one another these questions, they're not getting any clearer in their minds. He says they keep asking the questions, because none of them can explain to one another what he means. They just can't get the picture clear in their minds at all. It's a good example, isn't it, of what we're saying. That these men could see Jesus' face. They could see his outward form, but they still couldn't understand him. They still couldn't enter into his thinking. They still couldn't see what was in his heart. It was only later, when the Holy Spirit came, that they could really enter into a full understanding of the Lord Jesus and what he meant. In that sense, we can know more about the Lord Jesus now than his disciples did here on earth. Do you ever feel that you envy the disciples because they walked with Jesus by Blue Galilee and they were there on the mountain of transfiguration and they saw the miracles and they were there at the foot of the cross? Do you feel that you envy the disciples for the fact that they did know his features and his form, and they did see him at throughout those years here on earth? I'll never forget. We know Jesus better than they did, because we understand more of what was in his heart and mind than they possibly could, because we have the Spirit of Jesus within us. And the Spirit of Jesus within us is able to interpret the mind of Jesus and the words of Jesus and the actions of the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit within us is able to communicate to us the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit within us is able to make the life of Christ our life. The Holy Spirit is able to open the eyes of our hearts to see Jesus in a way that the disciples could not. I showed you here a little while ago a photograph that somebody had passed on to me, a photograph taken from an aircraft, a photograph of clouds with the sun shining upon them, very beautiful photograph, and supposedly you could see in the clouds, in this extraordinary cloud formation, you could see the figure and face of Jesus. This photograph was available for only $10 in the smallest size. And the accompanying letter, which came with the photograph, was all about what a wonderful, wonderful thing it is that we can now see the face and figure of the Lord Jesus. What, this will change your whole life, to have a photograph of the Lord Jesus on the wall in your home. That will revolutionize your life, won't it? Well, the disciples had all that. The disciples could see not just a photograph, they could look into the face of Jesus, but they didn't understand what he was saying. They were still left looking at one another saying, what does he mean? What does he mean? What's he trying to tell us? And they couldn't grasp it. We have something better than any photograph of the Lord Jesus. You know, do without, you know, those children's Bible storybooks, those children's Bibles or grown-ups' Bibles with pictures of the Lord Jesus in them. Get rid of the pictures. We don't need them. We have the Holy Spirit. Those videos, the Jesus video, get rid of it. We don't need to show people the appearance of Jesus played by an actor. Because we can call for the Holy Spirit himself to come and show Jesus to us and to show Jesus to others. Not an imaginary Jesus, but the real Jesus. His heart, his character, his power, his divine glory, his perfect humanity. Everything that Jesus is can be made known to our hearts by the Holy Spirit. What does he say? Verse 14. Chapter 16, verse 14, the Lord Jesus says, he, the Holy Spirit, will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That's why I said the Spirit will take from what's mine and make it known to you. These other things are distractions. The the photographs of the clouds and the pictures in the story Bibles and the videos. They are distractions, because while I'm looking at them, I'm not looking to the Spirit to show me Jesus. But the promise is that the Holy Spirit will show me Jesus. If we as a church long to know Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit will make Jesus Christ real to us. And if I as a believer, with all my struggles and all my weaknesses and all my sins and all my temptations and all my backslidings, if I have a desire to know Jesus Christ, then he has promised that the Holy Spirit will show me Jesus. And I can say, I want to see Jesus. And Jesus answers, you will see me. Well, we've not moved any.